Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into another edition of Future Brew right here on MaizeAndBrew.com. Hope you all had a good 4th of July. I sure did. And I hope my two co-hosts in today did as well. Steven Ossentoski and John Simmons. John, how you doing, man? How is everything treating you over there in New York? You have a good 4th of July?
Yeah, it was good. Went up and visited the girlfriend in Niagara Falls. Got to see some fireworks, walk around, do some hikes. It was a good weekend.
Good stuff. Steven, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing all right. Kind of took it easy this weekend. Stayed inside my home, avoided the heat. But actually, no, I did a 5K this past
So much for that.
Yeah, never mind. Never mind. I tried to block out the pain from that. But no, it was good. It was a good weekend, but stuck around the area and a little bit more relaxing outside of the 5K.
So. You didn't get lost this time, did you?
It was hard to, man. It was a tiny little town. So if I got lost, I'd be concerned for my – I'd be seeing a doctor if I got lost in that 5K.
Okay.
But yeah, no, all good. All good.
Excellent. Well – good to have you back. I'm glad you all had a good time. I sure did too. Let's get into some Michigan football recruiting. We're going to start with the first commitment here from this past weekend, 4th of July weekend. And that comes from three-star tight end Colston Loveland of the 2022 class, committed this past weekend. He's 6'5", 230. He's from the state of Idaho. He's number 584 overall on the composite. He was offered by Jay Harbaugh back in April, and then about a month later put Michigan in his top seven list, which also included Alabama, Boise State, Colorado, Oregon State, Arizona, and Arizona State. He also picked up a couple recent offers from LSU and Auburn. So Michigan definitely beat out some good competition here. He officially visited Michigan last month, and not long after that is when all those crystal balls kind of came in for the Wolverines. So it seems like the visit kind of put Michigan instantly at the top of his list. Steven, I want to start with you, my friend. We talked about him last week and his recent visit. The kid is a former wide receiver, hit a growth spurt, and like I mentioned, he's at 6'5", 230 now. Obviously has some more muscle and weight to put on, but pretty much everything you could want out of a prospect at his position this far into him playing the position. And 24/7 Sports's Brandon Huffman compares him to Austin Hooper, who is a pretty good tight end in the NFL now with the Browns, says that he's able to stay in line and block or split out wide and match up against linebackers or defensive backs. He calls him a natural pass catcher, has soft hands, good crisp routes, and ball skills to go high pointed. So along with the fact that he is also a good basketball player in high school as well. So multi-sport athlete, hasn't played the position long, but the potential is certainly there for Loveland for sure, Stephen.
Yeah. And I like that he plays basketball, because sometimes with these guys, I worry, at least my initial worry is, can he really bulk up into a tight end shaped guy, right? He has wide receiver skills. He started out at the position. Will he be able to be a serviceable blocker? And that's all you need. If you're a wide receiver first and then kind of add the tight end skills to it, all you need is for him to not be a detriment, right? Just a serviceable blocker. I kind of put him in like the Jake Butt mold, where Butt was, you know, a true elite threat as a receiving tight end, serviceable blocker, right? And that's why he got to the NFL and did as well as he could. So because he plays basketball, not only does that show the versatility and skill set that he has, and work on a lot of your hands in basketball as well. So, but the weight aspect, it you're in motion quite a bit. It's hard to add a lot of good muscle throughout the basketball season. So it's not like he had the time to spend all winter in the weight room to bulk up for football season moving on, right? He was focused on basketball. So once he does have the ability to focus strictly on football, I think that's going to lend itself really well to building the appropriate muscle and focusing on the skill set necessary to block, because he has all the other skills. You already mentioned the soft hands, really crisp routes, truly a riser in the ranks. So yeah. I'm most excited to see his development compared to a lot of other guys, because when you get guys, like I said, who compete in multiple sports, they're going to have more rapid development than almost anybody else, because they'll finally have that ability to hone in on one sport and develop those skills that maybe were just on the back burner while they were playing basketball.
John, I want to get your thoughts on all of that as well, just the potential that he has, but also wanted to ask you, now that Michigan has two tight ends in this class, with Loveland joining three-star Marlon Klein, who's been committed since last September, but there is still a big time player out there at the position, 4-star Oscar Delp. They've been pursuing him for pretty much as long as any program has been at this point, but it seems like he might be leaning towards staying in SEC country. I've always kind of felt like Georgia's been the top school for him. That's where he lives, is in the state of Georgia. And it seems like the Bulldogs have been out in front for months now. And if he ends up somewhere else, I would be kind of surprised at this point. So with all that kind of said, John, do you think Michigan is fully set at tight end now, or, you know, moves on from Delp, or do you think that they should keep recruiting him since they've been recruiting him for as long as they have been?
Yeah, I think that the staff will continue to recruit Delp, but, you know, it's going to be a lot harder now to convince him to join a class with two tight ends already in it. I think he's definitely worth still pursuing though, and putting that effort in, because he's such a high ceiling prospect. But I think the Michigan staff thinks they landed someone with similar skill to Delp in Loveland. And I think, you know, seeing those offers that he picked up late in the cycle, you know, he was on a run getting like LSU and Auburn late in June, right before he committed to Michigan, I think shows that he was about to blow up on the trail and could be a potential in the riser in the rankings. So I think Michigan thinks they landed one of the top tight ends in the country already. So getting Delp would just be gravy. But yeah, I agree with what you said about him probably staying home in Georgia. It looks like South Carolina is also making a move with him lately, so they could be his primary competition now, but we'll just have to see how the Delp family reacts to them taking Loveland. I know Delp took a really good official midweek in June, but yeah, it's just tough to ask a guy to join a class with two tight ends already in there.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's borderline impossible to get three tight ends in one class, very difficult. I know that Michigan kind of needs two tight ends in this class, and it seems like they got two good ones. The fact that Georgia, who is the presumed favorite at this point, they don't even have one in their class at this moment in time in this 22 class. All the 11 of their commits, they got a couple listed as athletes. So off the top of my head, I don't think these athletes are going to be playing tight end for them. So I would anticipate Georgia still probably being the favorite and he being that guy for the Bulldogs. So, yeah, I mean, it's tough to keep all those kids happy, but it's also at the same time, you got to get a guy that you think also has that potential in Loveland. And they certainly do. Like you mentioned, Michigan thinks that he's one of the top tight ends in the country. 24/7 has him as a 4-star in their own personal rankings, but the composite has him as a 3-star, number 584 overall. So I would imagine that if he puts on a good senior season, could rise up the ranks, could potentially crack or at least get close to cracking that 4-star status. So we'll certainly see. But at the end of the day, could pick up, got their second tight end, and I think they're pretty set at the position now moving forward, and they can move on to some other key positions of need in this 22 class. Let's move on to a second commit here. And that is from Mario Eugenio, a 4-star defensive end in this 22 class. He's listed at 6'3", 240. He's from Clearwater, Florida, listed as the number 282 overall player on the composite, number 13 edge prospect. Was also considering a few other schools, Iowa State, Oregon, Miami, Indiana, Georgia Tech were some other schools that he was really high on. Officially visited for Victor's weekend, and he's been a top target along the edge for the Wolverines since offering him back in February once they got all the new coaches in the defensive coaching room there. Had a monster junior season, had 42 tackles, 20 tackles for loss, 17 of those 20 tackles for loss coming from the sacks, and 5 pass breakups, 3 forced fumbles, 2 fumble recoveries, and 2 interceptions too, which you don't really see a whole lot from a defensive line prospects, but he got 2 anyways. So Steven, I'll toss it back to you. I mean, this kid is just a straight up athlete. He's got the numbers to show on the gridiron. He was named a top performer recently at the Under Armour All-America camp by 24/7 Sports. That was down in his home state. That was down in Miami. He also performs in the track and field. So he is literally the definition of an athlete. If you could flip the one in the dictionary, you probably see a Mario Eugenio his photo right there. So a really good prospect and a good pickup for Michigan.
Yeah, I'm really excited Michigan picked him up just because I feel like we've talked about the edge position quite a bit and a lot of names have come up and Michigan's kind of been sorting through their board, it seems. And just a ton of names that we've had to parse through kind of. And he was the one that I mentioned on the last podcast where he was the one that fit the edge position perfectly. There's no doubt about where he's going to end up in my mind. It's always a good sign when a recruit cancels their last visit and decides to announce their commitment, because he was supposed to be going to Indiana this past weekend, I believe, and decided, nope, I know where I'm going to go. So I was a little worried about Iowa State towards the end there, just because he was he did visit there before his decision. But when you look at the crystal balls, one of them is from Michael Swain of Cyclone Alert. So having an Iowa State insider not flip a crystal ball after that visit kind of assuaged my fears a little bit. But but yeah, perfect edge type player. You mentioned track and field, so that versatility's there. The monster junior season, so he's another guy who's likely to be a riser in the ranks, but he's already top 300. So, yeah, I mean, he does a lot of things well. Only thing to really improve that I see is firing off a little bit lower. But, you know, strength will improve and add some technique to that. He's got great hands and solid change of direction and that bend that you look for a edge type player. So, you know, in terms of starting off the edge position, I'm of the frame of mind that it's, you can never take too many of those guys, because if they do grow into a strong side defensive end, so be it. You'll need those. And in this defense, that position is going to be extremely important. So to start off with a guy who fits that position perfectly is a great way to start the 2022 class.
Yeah, no doubt. He's certainly one of the guys that they've been pursuing for quite a while. Like I said, since they offered him back in February, they've been very high on him, got him in on the visit, and gave him the red carpet treatment when he got in town. So they did a good job sealing the deal with Eugenio for sure. So, John, I want to flip it over to you because him committing to Michigan very likely helps with another prospect that Michigan has been recruiting for a while, and that's in-state kind of two-way lineman, I guess you could call him, Deion Walker, who he's got the crystal balls in favor of Michigan at this point, 24/7 does, and Steve Lorenz put one in very recently for him. So, I mean, just reading the tea leaves here, I don't really think it's out of reach to say that a commitment for him could be coming sometime soon as well. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, and just as well as what you like about Eugenio's game and what he brings to Michigan too.
Yeah, I echo everything that Steven said about his game. He just looks like a pure edge rusher. He has good speed. I like his first step. And yeah, his friendship with Deion Walker is very strong. They've made sure to visit together at Michigan. And I think, you know, Deion Walker's been acting like he's been committed, you know, in social media and comments he's made in interviews, things like that. So it wouldn't surprise me to see him commit and then to come out that he's been a silent commit for, you know, the last couple months. So I think Eugenio probably knows something. And, you know, after he canceled his remaining trips, I think the visit to Michigan for the Victors weekend was enough to seal it for him. So I think that he's going to eventually team up on the defensive line with his good friend there.
Is that where you think that he's kind of best fit too? Because in my opinion, I mean, he's a big boy. He's like 6'6". He's over 300 pounds. I think he could fit anywhere really along either offensive or defensive line. He's got that two-way potential, kind of like how Rayshon Benny did in the last cycle. And with him playing at a good football school, high school, Kaz Tech, I mean, he's getting good experience both offensive and defense. I personally think D-line is kind of where he's best set at. I want to get your thoughts on that too.
Yeah, it's interesting because he hasn't really made his preference clear. Like Benny was being recruited for a while at first a lot by as an offensive tackle, but then he kind of said that he wanted to be recruited as a defensive lineman, and Michigan was like, yeah, that's fine with us, wherever you want to go,
yeah,
we'll recruit you there. So he kind of made that clear to staffs. I'm not sure if Walker has done that yet, but maybe, you know, with I think Eugenio will be an edge, so they won't be the, you know, the exact same position. But I think, you know, if he wants to play, be around his friend more often, he could go there. But then, you know, Raheem Anderson's on the offensive line at Michigan too. So who knows? I think it's just going to depend on how Michigan's roster shakes out and if he's amenable to switch, mm-hmm. You know, if he gets on campus, maybe starts in the defensive room and you know, suddenly they need depth in O-line if he wants to switch or if he wants to stay on defense. I think either way he can be successful though.
Well, regardless of what happens, I think this commitment here certainly helps with his recruitment for sure. But yeah, I'm kind of with you. I wouldn't be shocked if he were a silent commit as well, just given that, I mean, he just seems all blue all the way. I mean, anytime you see any photo of him circulating on social media, if he's, you know, taking reps in a camp setting or wherever it was, I mean, it seems like he's always got some kind of Michigan gear on, which I know doesn't always mean that he's a commit by any means, but it, at the very least, it seems like, you know, with the crystal balls coming in and now with Eugenio locked up and with him being an in-state player and a in-state player that Michigan is heavily pursuing and has been pursuing for a very long time. They offered him a while ago and they've been going after him ever since. I think this commitment here certainly helps. It definitely doesn't hurt. And, yeah, it would just be the icing on the cake if he ends up committing to Michigan, teaming up with his buddy on the defensive line in Eugenio and kind of going from there with the rest of your defensive line recruiting in this class. They certainly wouldn't be done by any means. They're still trying to rehaul that position entirely, it seems like. So certainly off to a good start, though. Steven, I'll throw it to you for the last word here, whether it be on Eugenio, Walker, a combination of the two. You got any final words here, bud?
Can't teach size. Can't teach size, and Walker's got it. So, yeah, I like him on the defensive side, not just from his film thus far. But yeah, it's when you have that many arrows pointing in one direction, like you mentioned, with him wearing the Michigan gear, having a good friend like Eugenio on board, being in state, there's a lot of arrows pointing in Michigan's way. So I think even if you don't hear a whole lot, that's probably good news, right? Keep those arrows pointed in that same direction. Any deviation from that, anything you do hear is likely going to be in support of Michigan. I'd be shocked otherwise, but mm-hmm. but we'll see. Things are pointing the right direction so far.
Yeah, sometimes the silent recruitments are often the best. I often think back to like the Zach Charbonnet recruitment. Yeah, obviously Charbonnet was a lot higher ranked than Walker at the time coming out of high school, but you didn't worry about it. You didn't have to stress about it. You weren't like, you weren't staying up late at night because of it. And in my opinion, I think it'll work out in Michigan's way, the way that it did for Charbonnet a few cycles ago. So we'll certainly see, but good stuff. And certainly look for more commitments in the future. And but before we talk about the next few topics here, let's take a quick break, talk about our sponsor here on Maize Brew Podcast. And that is Homefield, which is a premium collegiate apparel brand based out of the Midwest and Indy. And not only is their stuff comfortable, but it's officially licensed gear. So they do not screw around when it comes to their designs. And the cool thing about Homefield is that the team over there, they study every school's history, traditions, and legacies to create those thoughtful designs that tell the unique story of each university that they have. And they got some really cool, original Michigan designs that you will not find anywhere else. You can try, but you will fail. Whether it's t-shirts, crew necks, whatever you need, they've got it to help you stay cozy. So if you're looking for some of that vintage apparel, go to homefieldapparel.com and use this promo code. We've been blasting it, you guys, for months now, MNB, as in Maize and Brew, at checkout. You'll get 20% off the whole first order. So you can buy 10 t-shirts if you want and use that MNB promo code, and you'll get 20% off that entire order. So head on over to homefieldapparel.com. Start shopping today.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors in life, whether they be big, small, or anywhere in between. And when we keep those bottled up, it can start to affect us in a negative way. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched up with a licensed therapist, and if for some reason that therapist isn't working out for you, you can switch at any time for no additional charge. Get life's challenges off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BlockM to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BlockM.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, we are back. Thanks for sticking around, everybody. We're going to wrap up our podcast today with some more football recruiting news and a few top lists being put out over the last few days here by some of Michigan's top targets. And let's just start in the defensive back room, because that's certainly a position of need for Michigan in this 22 class. They've already got five-star in-state homegrown cornerback Will Johnson committed. They've got Cody Jones also committed, four-star athlete, whether it's at nickel or corner or safety, whatever, they got him. But still looking for a few corners to finish out this 22 class. And a couple guys that are right at the top of their board recently have put out some top lists, and one of them is going to be announcing their commitment probably around the time that this podcast comes out. Let's start with Jaleel Florence right at the top here. Three-star cornerback from the state of California, from San Diego. He's 6'1", 180, number 389 overall on the composite. Put out a top three list on the 4th of July, which includes Michigan, Oregon, and Washington. So the Wolverines are going up against a couple powerhouses out west for his commitment. Florence was supposed to visit for Victor's weekend, but had to push that back to the final weekend in June instead, and canceled a trip to Syracuse in order to do so. And I talked with him not long after his trip a couple weekends ago, and he spoke very highly of Michigan, left a very good impression on him. And it sounds like he's going to want to visit Oregon and Washington as well before making his decision. So let's incorporate this second cornerback though into this conversation, John, because right as we were starting this podcast, essentially one of Michigan's other top targets at the cornerback position put out his top three list and is going to be announcing this Wednesday his commitment, and that is Miles Pollard, a longtime top target from the state of Tennessee, former teammate of Junior Colson, for a current Michigan linebacker, and he is listed at 6'2", 185. Again, has a very good relationship with Steve Klinkscale. Michigan's been recruiting him for a long time, a lot longer than what Klinkscale's been with the Wolverines for. Obviously, you think that probably helps in this recruitment, but he is number 432 overall on the composite, and a crystal ball was put in probably just about an hour ago from Sam Webb over at the Michigan Insider. So it looks like Michigan may be getting another commitment in the very near future. So, John, let's talk about those two cornerbacks here. I'll let you pick your poison here. You choose whoever you want to talk about, whether it's Florence, a mix of both. But Pollard, it certainly seems like good news coming there. Florence, it's going to be a little while before any commitment comes from him. So looking good with both cornerbacks, though, in my opinion. But Pollard obviously being the one that's wrapping up his recruitment very soon.
Yeah, and I think that makes Michigan much more likely to land Pollard. You know, the crystal ball from Sam Webb's obviously always a good indication, but ever since Michigan got Klinkscale from Kentucky and Pollard called him, you know, his favorite coach that was recruiting him, I think it was pretty much a when rather than if situation that he was going to commit to Michigan. And so I think it's great that he's set a commitment date that's pretty soon, and it all signs point to it being Michigan. It's still kind of crazy to me that he's only an 87 on 24/7 Sports. You know, I bet a pretty good sum that will rise by the end of the 2022 cycle.
Yeah,
which should push him up into four-star territory, I think. So, you know, just given all the schools that are going after him, you know, Oklahoma and Auburn is top three, but, you know, he's also considering Kentucky, Florida, Washington, who, you know, all have really good track records with defensive backs. So I think that's a really good sign. Florence, I think, yeah, we're going to have to wait a little bit. Michigan's the only official he's taken. He's looking at a visit to Oregon in the fall and Washington in late July, like when Michigan will have the barbecue. So I think it's tough to have the first visit, and then it'll be, you know, a few months after when he takes the other visits, just because, you know, it won't be in the top of his mind anymore. But if Michigan can get him out on campus for a game, I think then they'll be have a much better shot of landing him.
Yeah, well, there is some talk potentially for Florence visiting Michigan for that game against Washington. So he'd be able to see two of his three finalists all in the same day. So that would certainly be good news if Michigan's able to get him back for a night game. You would imagine that it'd be a sellout crowd, probably the first real big sellout crowd since COVID. So I would hope that the big house would be electrified and amped up for that game. So that would be good news to get him back for sure. It's going to take some time in this recruitment. Like you said, wants to visit Oregon and Washington as well. But for Pollard, certainly interesting. Michigan was the first school that he officially visited in June. And then the weekend after his Michigan visit, took that Oklahoma visit. And then the weekend after that, took the Auburn visit. So if the crystal ball direction is preaching the truth here, Stephen, it really seems like Michigan left that impression on him. Like it kind of seems like it did with Florence too, with his visit a couple weekends ago. So the fact that, you know, if the dominoes do fall in Michigan's favor, the fact that they were able to host him and then he went and visited his two other finalists after that Michigan visit. I mean, that really, really speaks volumes to how Michigan is able to kind of seal the deal with these official visits, like they have been with a lot of these top targets. I know they've swung and missed on a few guys, but overall, I mean, Pollard, I would imagine, is probably close to the very top of their board. I would imagine he's probably within, at the very least, the top 10. They've been recruiting him hard for a very long time, but good news nonetheless in both of these recruitments, Stephen, because they need some defensive backs to round out this class.
Yeah, it seems like Pollard's in a better position as far as Michigan recruiting than Florence. I'm always wary of guys from the West Coast who have really solid, you know, I would say recruitments or relationships with guys closer to home there, just because it's such a long distance to cover. And some recruits say it doesn't, you know, really matter. And sometimes that is true, but visiting for a game at Oregon, it's going to come down to, will Julio Florence get a visit to a Michigan game? I think that's what needs to happen if Michigan truly wants a chance, because as you said, the atmospheres last year in visiting a game are going to be pale in comparison to what this year has to offer. So going to visit Oregon, you know, he talked them up, childhood favorite for Florence growing up. So getting a game in at that stadium, you're going to need a visit to the Big House to adequately compete with that, just because there's a lot of emotion, a lot of excitement in seeing a game, especially after 2020. It's just going to be, Michigan could have done everything they could on this visit that he recently had and still fall short just because of the timing and sequencing of these visits. So for him to commit, just need to see him back in Ann Arbor for a game, and then I'll feel a little bit better about their chances. But Pollard, you said they've been going after him so hard to have a crystal ball. Again, it's all about the sequencing, right? You mentioned the earlier visit, and then he just had an onslaught of a bunch of visits to top schools. For the crystal ball to come after all of those visits, there was an article on 24/7 from Sam Webb as well. Greg, Miles Pollard's father, talked a lot about how these schools kind of compared to Michigan. And of course, that could be the question of how the question was asked. But usually when Team X is compared to teams Y and Z, and the recruiter, the recruit's parent, is comparing a lot of these schools to Team X, you know, Team X in this case is Michigan, and that's usually a good sign that they're the team to beat. So it seems like this was just a thing where they wanted to ensure that they were comfortable with Michigan kind of as the leader. And that crystal ball seems to kind of back that theory up. So huge get. I mean, when you got Oklahoma pushing hard, you got Auburn there as well. There's, you know, it's clear that he's a priority to quite a few schools. And as you mentioned, I think Klinkscale was really the feather in Michigan's cap to seal that one. So I'm not saying it's sealed, but it's getting closer to that point where I'm getting confident on it.
Let's end on a bit of an odd note here, boys. And, you know, I don't mean to put a damper to this party, but on the 4th of July, Michigan was cut from the top list for one of their other top targets in the class. That's right. It can't be all good news. It can't be all good news on this podcast all the time. The top list that they were cut from was a 4-star defensive lineman, Justice Finkley, who's the Alabama prospect that we've been talking about for quite some time on this podcast. Fringe top 100 player on the composite, and was a guy that they've been recruiting for nearly 2 years now. And he was originally going to cut his list down to 4, instead cut it to 3. And those schools were Alabama, Texas, and Colorado. The 4th school was presumably going to be Michigan, considering that he officially visited not too long ago and raved about the program since being, not only since this past official visit, but since he was offered back in November of 2019 when he visited for that Ohio State game. But Sam Webb over at the Michigan Insider had a story about the reason why Michigan was cut from this list entirely. And he was saying how it was because Michigan had told him that they liked him along the interior of the defensive line and thinks that that's where he was best suited. And obviously he disagreed, thought that he was best suited for the edge position, as the others three schools do who made his final list at the end of the day. But in my opinion, guys, if this is all 100% factual and accurate, I don't think there's any other way to rule it as Michigan botching this one. The guys over at 24/7, they list him at 6'2", 255. I guess Michigan had potentially measured him when they brought him in, and he came in above 6 feet, not around 6'2". So I guess there's reason to believe that he could bulk up and play inside, but with him being a top talent in a state like Alabama, where it's hard to pull any kid, regardless of how highly ranked they are, I just can't find any justification for why Michigan would turn him away just for the fact that they wanted him to be an inside player. And recruitments like this, they could open the door for Michigan. Michigan, like we've been talking about, they need defensive linemen in this class, whether they're an interior or an edge prospect. I think it's completely fair, honestly, to say that Michigan screwed this recruitment up. And by the way, while all of this is going on, Ohio State just landed another top defensive line prospect on the holiday in the 21 class, actually. So they have three incoming players in the top 10 alone and nine top 100 players in the 2021 class. And they already have seven top 100 players in the 22 class. So that gap that we keep talking about with Michigan and Ohio State, the recruiting gap, the talent gap, missing out on Finkley doesn't help their case, and that's not going to be closed anytime soon. So, John, I wanted to get your thoughts on that before we wrap up the podcast, because that kind of rubbed me the wrong way when I read that report initially. What do you think, John? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's – I mean, on the surface, it's nice that they're, you know, being upfront with guys and telling them, you know, not just telling them what they want to hear, and then they show up on campus and putting them in a different spot. But it's also kind of they're kind of switching up how they've approached these types of recruitments under Harbaugh. You know, I think back to like Zach Gentry in Harbaugh's first class, you know, he's coming in as a quarterback, you know, everyone kind of thought like, oh yeah, he'll eventually move to tight end. And Michigan did give him that shot at quarterback, and then he did move and he turned into a draft pick. You know, they have in the past let guys try out the positions that they think they want to play before switching them to ones that I think that the coaches think they'd be better suited for. And sometimes it turns out like Gentry, and sometimes it turns out, you know, like James Hudson, who came in as a defensive lineman, they moved him to O-line and he ended up transferring. Or someone like Kingston Davis, who was everyone thought was going to be a fullback, but he kept insisting he was going to be a running back. Michigan gave him the shot, but it just didn't work out. So it is kind of interesting why Michigan wouldn't let Finkley, you know, start out at edge. And then if it wasn't working, move down to defensive line. You know, they could just be trying to prevent a transfer in the future, you know, with the transfer portal being a much more easy pathway to getting, to be able to play early at a different school now than it was with those past cases. I think that probably played a factor. But yeah, I think a guy with talent like Finkley, he's worth taking at the edge spot and, you know, letting him try it out there for a couple season or two. And then if it doesn't work out, you know, sit him down and say, we want you to move inside to be successful, and hopefully he responds well. And if not, then he just enters the transfer portal, and then you can fill a spot later.
Steven, final word, man. What are your thoughts on this? I don't like how this all went down. What's your opinion?
I'm actually okay with it. It's kind of shocking, I know, but look at the 2017 class. Michigan had over half that class, I believe, transfer out, and the 2020 season bore the brunt of a lack of 2017 class. So I think this is a clear shift of Michigan prioritizing guys who will stick around, who understand the vision that you have for them, and understanding that a high attrition rate with transfers, as John mentioned, the transfer portal is as open as ever now. you know, I understand the talent that Finkley has and bringing him in, but if it doesn't align with the vision you have for that player, your odds of him transferring in kind of the landscape today is pretty high. And cutting down on that and maybe taking a three-star who aligns with your vision, that's one more body that you can rely on and not one that you have to spend a lot of effort to convince to stay on the team. So I'm okay with it. I get it. High talent guy, so I hate to see him go. But this seems more like a philosophical approach or a philosophical change for the program than anything else.
That's fair. I do understand that, case in point, for sure. I mean, we could literally spend an entire podcast talking about this kind of topic of what kind of guy should they take? Should they take a three-star guy that they think fits their scheme over a five-star talent that is just athletic and crazy talented that may not fit their scheme? But, you know, that's another conversation for another day. I certainly appreciate you guys hopping on, and I appreciate the listeners tuning in. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Vaughn_Lozon. John, where are you at, my friend?
At Simmons_John.
And Steven?
At Steven Toski.
And give Maize and Brew a like, follow on all our social media platforms, and be sure to rate, subscribe, you know, give us 5 stars on all our podcasts. We would certainly appreciate that as well. So for John and Steven, I'm Vaughn. We'll come back at you guys next week with another edition of Future Brew. Until then, go Blue.